Heather Vale, and this is the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. Joining me is Snickers the Golden Doodle, therapy dog for Palm Mortuaries and Cemeteries, and his dog dad, Jay Poster, general manager of King David Memorial. A pet supply drive in honor of Snickers' fifth birthday kicks off with a birthday party next week, and five rescue charities will benefit from the drive's proceeds. Jay and Snickers, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you so much for having us.
So, Jay, why does Palm have a therapy dog?
Snickers has been part of our team for 4.5 years now. And I got to tell you, I think every funeral home should have one, because what he does is bring comfort to those that walk through the door. Let's face it, when somebody has a loss, the last place they want to do is to walk into the funeral home to make final arrangements. And to have a therapy, or specifically a facility dog, because he works here, greet them at the door, sit with them during the arrangements, allow him to be petted by them, to put his paw on their knee, you know, during the arrangements, you know, just a sense of comfort that releases the stress that the family's going through.
What is most people's reaction when they experience that from Snickers?
Smile. You know, you see people that get out of their car, they slowly walk to the door, and they see this beautiful golden doodle sitting on the other side of the door, wagging its tails. All of a sudden, you know, they start smiling. And again, it takes the pressure off them just a little bit.
Yeah. So you're the general manager of King David Memorial. How is King David Memorial related to Palm Mortuaries and Cemeteries?
We opened up King David 20 years ago in 2001, or 23 years ago, I guess. King David is a Palm location. We are the Jewish chapel for Palm Mortuaries. So we are directly one of their locations. There are 10 locations, and King David is the Jewish chapel for Palm Mortuaries.
And does Snickers work specifically at King David or at the other Palm locations as well?
He's welcome to go every place. He rarely has, but he's absolutely welcome to. He's at King David 3 or 4 days a week, and he's here full day when he comes here.
Nice. Okay. Now, why are you holding a pet supply drive to support animal charities in conjunction with Snickers' fifth birthday?
Well, we thought it was a great opportunity to give back to the community, as Palm has always done. Palm has been a partner of Clark County for a Las Vegas community for many, many years. And it was just one opportunity, knowing that Snickers is such a part of our location here and part of our market here. We felt it was a great idea to expand what our organization gives back to the community, and why not give back to their furry friends, because we haven't done that yet.
So what are the five charities that are receiving the proceeds?
They are Michael's Angel Paws, Nevada SPCA, Heaven Can Wait Animal Society, the Las Vegas Humane Society, and Amor Peludo.
And what pet supplies are needed the most?
A variety of items, but items that are absolutely needed when somebody adopts an animal: bedding, towels, food, canned food, dry food for both cats and dogs, kitties and puppies, harnesses, leashes, cleaning supplies, collars, just anything that a new owner would need to be able to take care of their pet.
And can people make monetary donations as well?
Yes, they can.
So tell us about Snickers' birthday party that's coming up next week.
Well, we're really excited. First off, we do have a few sponsors, but one of our big sponsors is Walmart. Walmart is going to provide a puppy-friendly cake with treats. We are going to have doggy bags as well, with different toys available. We have my friend David Weinstein, who is a professional photographer that will be around to do pet photography. It's just going to be a great event.
When and where is it happening?
It's going to be happening at the King David location, which is 2697 East El Dorado. It's going to take place on Wednesday, September 18th. The party will be from 10 a.m. to 11:30. And the drive itself is through the 31st of October.
And is the public invited to take part in the birthday party?
The public is invited. We ask them to reach out to our websites and to RSVP. We have asked for some celebrity dogs in the community. We're hoping to get Metro Canines out there. We've asked the Golden Knights to have their dog Maverick out there. We're asking that pets that are representing the organizations that we are asking donations to, that they bring pets as well. And those that do come from the public, definitely welcome to bring their pets.
Okay. So the birthday party is on September 18th from 10 a.m. to 11:30. You're asking people to RSVP on the website, but then the donation drive itself happens through October 31st?
That's correct. Every Palm location, including King David, will have receptacles. We'll have boxes here where people can drop off donations.
Nice. Okay. So where can people go if they want to find out more, RSVP for Snickers' fifth birthday party that's coming up on September 18th, or make a donation to the pet supply drive?
They could either go to the King David website, which is kingdavidlv.com, or any of the Palm Mortuary locations, Palm Mortuary Eastern, Palm Mortuary Downtown. Each location has their own website, and there'll be a link on each of the sites.
Perfect. Okay. So once again, that website is kingdavidlv.com. That's the website for King David Memorial, which is the location for Snickers' fifth birthday party next Wednesday, September 18th from 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. Public is invited, but please RSVP on the website, kingdavidlv.com. And then if you can't make the birthday party, but you would like to make a donation to the pet supply drive, which is benefiting 5 rescue organizations in town, you can do that all the way through to October 31st at any of the Palm Mortuary and Cemetery locations, including King David Memorial, which is where, once again, the pet-friendly birthday party is happening. And again, all that information is at kingdavidlv.com. And we've been speaking today with Jay Poster. He's the general manager of King David Memorial and also Snickers the Golden Doodle, who is the therapy dog on site at Palm Mortuaries and Cemeteries. Jay and Snickers, I want to thank you both so much for being here. Snickers, happy birthday. So glad that you're doing such wonderful work in the community, helping so many people who are going through the grieving process. Wonderful to have someone like you on duty. And I hope that your birthday party is as amazing as it should be, and that lots of pet supplies are gathered for the various charities that are benefiting. And Jay, thank you so much for being here and letting us know more about what Snickers does and the charity donations that are being made to all these wonderful organizations in town. So I really appreciate you both being here. Thank you so much.
Well, we appreciate you taking the time to talk to us as well.
Animals are languishing in U.S. shelters, especially dogs who look a certain way. These dogs are just as deserving of loving homes as any type of dog, which is why we decided to help them get out of kennels. Join the thousands of supporters of our mission to help us expand our national reach and proudly place more dogs from kennels into their forever homes. To learn more about our mission, please visit us at kenneltocouch.org.
I'm Heather Vale, and this is the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. Joining me is Stephanie Dupree, Development Manager for the Nevada Chapter of the National Bleeding Disorders Foundation, and Chloe Gardner, Chapter Outreach Coordinator, who also has a bleeding disorder. The organization's Unite for Bleeding Disorders walk is back at Floyd Lamb Park on October 12th. Stephanie and Chloe, thank you both so much for being here today.
Thank you very much for having us, Heather.
Yeah, thank you.
So, Stephanie, what exactly does the National Bleeding Disorders Foundation do?
So the Nevada chapter of the National Bleeding Disorders Foundation, we serve about 700 families throughout the state of Nevada of people who have a bleeding disorder, an inheritable bleeding disorder. So one of the most well-known of those is hemophilia. It's not the most common bleeding disorder. It's just one of the most popular. And so the Nevada chapter, what we do is we provide programs, services, education, and support for those who have a bleeding disorder and their families.
Okay. What types of programs and services do you offer?
Just a wide variety of things. Basically, anything that we can do to help families that isn't related to their medical treatment. We leave that to the hemophilia treatment centers. And in terms of education, you know, for families who are newly diagnosed, we provide information about the disease and the disorder. We provide education throughout the whole spectrum of life. You know, for teens, we help them learn how to, you know, take care of themselves and become independent adults thriving with their disorder. We also provide education on new treatments that become become available. There's people, you know, who have lived with a bleeding disorder into their 60s and 70s and, you know, want more information on how to take care of their joints and, you know, learn about the new gene therapy treatments that are coming out on the market and whether that's for them. We like to be a good resource, a go-to resource for all those new things that are coming out. We also provide financial assistance to families. Having a bleeding disorder can be very expensive. The treatments and the cost of the medication are thousands of dollars, sometimes per month, just to get one course of treatment. And they're essential for living a regular, you know, life and letting people thrive. So it's very difficult for families sometimes to even just pay for the essentials and they're making sure that they have their medication also. So we do provide some financial assistance when needed for families. We also provide social programs for people. Bleeding disorders are rare, so you probably won't meet someone, you know, just at your local neighborhood park with a bleeding disorder, but we like to bring families together so they can meet each other and talk to each other and provide support for one another who are having this common thing, you know, that they are all living with, and bring the kids together. Because a lot of times, you know, we want to provide safe opportunities for children to learn about their disorder and to play. A lot of times these kids with a bleeding disorder aren't able to go to a regular summer camp. So we do provide medically supervised camps where these kids can learn what their limits are and have a great time and just feel like a normal kid.
Wow, that's great. Now, Chloe, Stephanie mentioned that hemophilia might be the most well-known bleeding disorder, but von Willebrand's disease is the most common. And this is something that you know about firsthand. So tell us more about your story and your experience.
Yeah, so hemophilia is one of the most talked about, I think, like in the news or in media, it's the most talked about bleeding disorder. However, not many people have it. I believe von Willebrand's, like, more than 1% of the population has von Willebrand's disease. So in my case, I had been diagnosed when I was around 13. I had just, you know, gone into menstrual cycle and I was bleeding for months at a time. So I had started seventh grade. You know, I had a really hard time going into the grade, and my parents are both nurses. And so they're like, something is wrong. You know, we need to see what's going on. I ended up going into the ER and having blood transfusions and iron transfusions because at this point I had been bleeding heavily for around 8 months. You know, so this isn't the case with a lot of von Willebrand's patients. I was diagnosed pretty late in the, like, von Willebrand spectrum. You know, most of the kids are diagnosed when they're born, or, you know, their parents know that they have the condition already. So I had kind of a hard time coming into it. You know, I thought I was a regular, normal kid, and to be 13 and come into this disorder, you know, I had a lot of embarrassment about it. You know, there's kind of a stigma around having a chronic illness or disease. So I would say that the foundation has really helped me come to terms with my diagnosis, you know, helped me realize being around these people, my life is not over. I can do the same things that other people can do. I can still play sports. I can still have a baby. I can still, you know, do things that other people can do. I just need to be a little bit more careful. And, you know, being around the foundation and then now working with the foundation has just, you know, made me come into terms with that even better. And now being the outreach coordinator, I'm going to be able to help other girls who are in the same spot as me, you know, come to terms with this also.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So that must have been really tough dealing with that as a teenager.
Oh, yeah.
What's your day-to-day like now?
So when I was growing up, I was on all kinds of medication, you know, constantly trying to find something that was working. I would have a lot of breakthrough bleeding. Things weren't working, or my body would just get used to the medication and I would have to try something else. A lot of medical professionals say with von Willebrand's that your factors of it stabilize as you get older. So that's pretty much what has happened with me as I've gotten older. It's been about 10 years, 11 years since I had been diagnosed. So now I'd say that I'm very lucky. I'm very stable on my medication. My day-to-day is pretty regular. I do like hormone treatment to keep those hormone levels stable. But as I've gotten older, it's just really, you know, mellowed out and I've been pretty lucky.
Wow, that's great. Okay. So Stephanie, tell us about the Unite for Bleeding Disorders walk that's coming up on October 12th.
Yeah, the Unite for Bleeding Disorders walk is such a fun community event. It's our biggest community event of the year. Everyone here in Southern Nevada with a bleeding disorder, we look forward to it all year. It's also a fundraiser. So we This is the one time of year we encourage families to start a team and invite their friends and families, coworkers, everybody to come out and support the bleeding disorder community. Like you said, it's at Floyd Land Park, which is absolutely beautiful. If you have not been out there up in the Northwest, there's some lakes, and we do about a mile walk around the lake all together as a community. And it's just really great because we're celebrating the resilience of people with a bleeding disorder. Having a bleeding disorder now with the medication that is currently available, people can live a full life. And that was not true just 10 years ago, 15 years ago. We've come so far, and this has really become a celebration of just everything that we've achieved as a community to get to this point. And so the walk, it's not just for people with a bleeding disorder and their families. It really is open to everyone. And I can't think of a better way to start to kick off a weekend or to kick off your Saturday than to be around such a fun, uplifting celebration. And like I said, it is open to everyone, and we have activities and information booth and fun things planned throughout the entire event that I think anybody in the community would be really excited to be a part of. Registration starts at 9, and so that's when we invite people to come out. One of the new things that we have this year is one of our sponsors, the CVS Specialty Pharmacy, is bringing out the big CVS Health Bus. So that's going to be available for people all throughout the morning and early into the afternoon, where they can come and get some testing done. They're going to be doing blood pressure and diabetes testing. You can meet with nurses and doctors to do everything in terms of getting your health up to date and checked out. They're going to have smoking cessation programs and weight loss counseling, and it's going to be really, really cool. This CVS Health Bus, we're really lucky to have it this year. It's also for everyone that registers ahead of time. We are going to have a lunch. So we're going to have lunch, a big celebration after the walk is over at noon, and a lunch is available to everybody. It's open to the public and free. We do have a suggested donation of $25. And with that, you do get a t-shirt and a lunch and get to be a part of everything going on. We also have some cosplayers that are coming out. So there's going to be a lot of fun things for kids. If you do have kids and want to come out, there's face painting. We're going to have Bluey, one character that's going to be walking around for the little kids. And I can't say what the cosplayers are going to be, but it might be some superheroes.
Nice. Okay. It sounds like fun. Now, Chloe, Stephanie mentioned that some people are forming teams. What kind of team did you form for the walk?
Yeah, so since my diagnosis, my close family and friends have been extremely, involved and supportive of my treatment and the things that I've had to go through. So I made a team. It's called the Clot Trotters. It's for just my family and friends. I figured it would be nice to have everybody come out, and especially the people who have supported me in the past and, knew I took this position and, just people in my day-to-day life. So I just figured it would be fun for everybody to come out, experience a little fresh air, have a nice lunch, all while I get to do my job and fundraise a little bit for the community.
Yeah, that's awesome. So, how can people find out more, first of all, about what the Nevada chapter of the National Bleeding Disorders Foundation does, if they need services, sign up to get services, or sign up to take part in the Unite for Bleeding Disorders walk, which is happening on October 12th?
Yes, I would definitely urge people to go onto our website, and on there you can find all about bleeding disorders. You can get connected to resources. If you think you or a loved one may have a bleeding disorder, you can connect to the local treatment centers and schedule testing. And then we also have our event calendar to stay in touch of things that are happening, not just in Las Vegas, but all over the state. We do things up in Reno. We do things in Elko, all over the place. You can also directly from our website get to where you can register for the Unite for Bleeding Disorders walk. And the website is hfnv.org. And so I know it doesn't quite match our name. So HFNV stood for, when we were the Hemophilia Foundation of Nevada. Last year, the National Hemophilia Foundation, after 75 years, changed its name to the National Bleeding Disorders Foundation. And we did that to be more inclusive of all the different types of inheritable bleeding disorders that we serve, including von Willebrand's disease and also some other more rare bleeding disorders, just to encompass everything that we do. So again, our website is hfnv.org. And from there, you can register for the Unite for Bleeding Disorders Walk happening on October 12th.
Nice. Okay. So once again, that website is hfnv.org, stands for Hemophilia Foundation Nevada. Now it's called the National Bleeding Disorders Foundation, but that's how you get there, hfnv.org. You can find out more about what the Nevada chapter of the National Bleeding Disorders Foundation does. If you need services, you can sign up there. If you want to be a volunteer or offer support. And then if you want to take part in the Unite for Bleeding Disorders Walk, you can also get that information there. And that again is happening on Saturday, October 12th at Floydland Park. Registration starts at 9, and after the walk, there's going to be a picnic lunch. So you can find out all the details there, hfnv.org. And we've been speaking today with Stephanie Dupree, Development Manager for the Nevada Chapter of the National Bleeding Disorders Foundation, and Chloe Gardner, Chapter Outreach Coordinator for the Nevada Chapter of the National Bleeding Disorders Foundation, as well as a community member who has von Willebrand's disease. So Stephanie and Chloe, I want to thank you both so much for being here today. Stephanie, for telling us more about the organization, and Chloe, especially for sharing your story and your experience with us. So thank you both so much.
Thank you so much, Heather.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Your kids could get free or low-cost health coverage from Medicaid or CHIP. Even if you've applied before, they may be eligible now. Kids up to age 19 are covered for checkups, vaccines, dentist visits, hospital care, and more. And if they already have Medicaid or CHIP, remember to renew every year. Visit insurekidsnow.gov or call 877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
You're listening to the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. I'm Heather Vail, and joining me is Dr. Courtney Fitzhugh, a sickle cell disease expert with the National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute, part of the National Institutes of Health. September is National Sickle Cell Awareness Month, which makes it a perfect time to shed light on this blood disorder and how it affects babies in the U.S. Dr. Fitzhugh, thank you so much for being here today.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
So what exactly is sickle cell disease?
Sickle cell disease is a disease that people are born with, and it impacts the red blood cells, which are the cells that carry oxygen throughout our body. And normally those red blood cells are shaped like a donut, and they're flexible and they easily move throughout the blood vessels. But with sickle cell disease, the shape is changed to a sickle or crescent shape, and they're rigid, and so they can block the blood flow throughout the body.
How common is sickle cell disease in the U.S.?
About 100,000 people in the United States are living with sickle cell disease.
And who is impacted the most?
Most commonly, Black and African Americans. 90% of people with sickle cell disease are non-Hispanic, Black, or African American.
Why does it disproportionately affect babies of certain ethnic backgrounds?
Because sickle cell disease is actually most common in sub-Saharan Africa and parts of the world where malaria is prevalent. And that's because if you have sickle cell trait, which is one abnormal copy of the gene, you're less likely to die from malaria.
So what are some of the signs and symptoms of sickle cell disease?
The most common is severe debilitating pain that can come out of nowhere. Also, patients are anemic, so they can be tired, have low energy, and it can also impact the organs. So you can have children with strokes. You can have people who require hip replacements because of the damage to the joints. You can have people on dialysis, people with heart failure. So it can impact almost any organ in the body.
Is sickle cell disease typically detected at birth or later in life?
All babies born in the United States now are tested for sickle cell disease as part of the newborn screening program. And I believe that was since about the 1980s. So anybody born before that, they may not know they have, especially sickle cell trait. And so they can have a blood test done to check for it.
So what advances have been made in treatment options for sickle cell disease?
For a long time, the only treatment we had was hydroxyurea, which is a pill that people can take, and it's still the best drug that we have. But there are other drugs that have been FDA approved more recently, and a lot of other drugs that are being tested in research studies. But we also have new curative approaches, including gene therapy and gene editing approaches that were just FDA approved this past December.
So how does gene editing work?
Gene editing means that you're using something like CRISPR-Cas to get rid of an abnormal gene and replace it with a normal gene. So either you can directly reverse sickle cell disease, or you can impact other proteins like fetal hemoglobin, which when the levels are high can prevent sickling and reverse sickle cell disease.
Interesting. Okay. What role do clinical trials play in finding new treatment options for sickle cell disease?
Patients enrolled in clinical trials is very helpful to us because we're able to study these new approaches in a clinical setting. Patients enroll on protocols, and so the clinical trials are very helpful in helping us to develop new treatments and new cures for sickle cell.
So some of those new FDA-approved treatments that you mentioned, did those come out of clinical trials?
Yes, they did.
Okay, interesting. So where can people go if they want to learn more about sickle cell disease or some of the treatment options that are now available that didn't used to exist at all?
They should go to sicklecell.nhlbi.nih.gov, where they'll find resources for patients and their loved ones, as well as find information about treatments and clinical trials that are available for sickle cell disease.
Okay, awesome. So once again, that's sicklecell.nhlbi, which stands for National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute, .nih, which stands for National Institutes of Health, .gov. So sicklecell.nhlbi.nih.gov. And you can find out more about sickle cell disease for National Sickle Cell Awareness Month, as well as check out if there are clinical trials near you if you think that this would be a great thing. So sicklecell.nhlbi.nih.gov. And we've been speaking today with Dr. Courtney Fitzhugh. She's a sickle cell disease expert with the National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute, which is part of the National Institutes of Health. And Dr. Fitzhugh, it's been great talking to you and finding out more about this. I'm sure a lot of people weren't aware, and great information, especially for National Sickle Cell Awareness Month. So thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for what you're doing to increase sickle cell awareness.
Hey, wouldn't it be great if life came with a remote control? You know, you could hit pause when you needed to, or hit rewind, like that time you knocked down that wasp's nest.
Uh-oh.
Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can stop prediabetes before it leads to type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
This is the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. I'm Heather Vail, and I'm speaking with Dr. James Polo, child psychiatrist and chief medical officer at Carillon Behavioral Health. September is National Suicide Prevention Month, and suicide is the second leading cause of death among youth ages 10 to 24. Dr. Polo, thank you so much for being here today.
My pleasure.
So what is Carillon Behavioral Health?
So Carillon Behavioral Health is a large company, and we help manage folks getting services for their behavioral health type problems. Everything from where to find resources and how to interface with the healthcare system.
Okay. And why is it important to focus on mental health in children and young adults?
Well, first of all, children are struggling more than ever in our world today. It's very complicated. Young kids are developing early. They're trying to understand their own emotions. They're trying to understand their own behavior. And they face so many challenges. Most young kids are simply trying to figure out who they are and how they fit in. And so helping them during that process becomes really important.
Now, why is suicide so prevalent among young people?
Yeah, suicide is often referred to as a permanent solution to a temporary problem. And the temporary problem is usually just emotional pressure and feeling like you want to get away from something. So in young kids, very often when they're pressured or stressed by something, they sometimes don't have the right resources or tools on their own to deal with it. One of the most common things that young kids struggle with in school is just fitting in with the other kids, not getting bullied, feeling like they're okay, feeling like they're the same as the other kids. And when that doesn't happen, they begin to feel like there's something wrong with them. And so helping kids through that process is really important, because when they're overwhelmed, they can sometimes reach points of crisis where they actually do think about self-harm.
Wow. Has suicide among young people always been so high, or is this a modern issue?
So it's not a modern issue. And what I mean by that is that for many, many years, essentially across the adult population, about 1 in 5 individuals struggles with some kind of mental health or emotional challenge. The ones that are struggling the most are those that sometimes become acutely depressed and suffer from suicide. What we found during the pandemic is that kids' lives were impacted dramatically. They were held back at home. They were away from their friends. They had less social activities. They had lots of concerns about, you know, just their health, not understanding what this was about. And so kids have been struggling for the past couple of years with significant symptoms of just, you know, overwhelming emotional challenge. About 1 in 6 children suffer from some kind of a depressive type symptom, feeling, or diagnosis. And so it's really important that we shine a light on it, make sure that young kids recognize that when they're struggling, it doesn't mean they're defective, and that it's okay to ask for help, and that getting help helps them.
Yeah. So teens are known for their angst. So what are the signs of extreme depression or potential suicide in young people that goes beyond the typical teenage angst?
Yeah. And therein is the key, goes beyond the typical angst. We all know that adolescents are struggling with identity. Who am I? How do I fit in? You know, one day they're upset, one day they're not upset. I usually offer to parents a couple of thoughts to think about. First of all, you know your kid's baseline in general. What's their baseline? When they're starting to be different from their baseline is when you need to be concerned. Signs and symptoms that a child might be anxious or worried is they change their social habits. They're not hanging out with the same kids. They're avoiding activities. It might be avoiding sports activities, or it might be avoiding school. They're more irritable, they're more moody, they're not sleeping well, they're complaining of headaches, stomach aches, their appetite is changing. So it's really about, is my child now distinctly different from what I usually expect? And for different kids, for different parents, it can be sometimes very subtle. One of the things I encourage all parents to do, have conversations with your child every day. Ask questions and listen. They'll tell you what's going on in their lives if you just spend the time with them and just listen and give them safe space. Don't talk to them in a judgmental manner.
Okay. Yeah, great advice. So then what's the first step for families if they want to get help for loved ones who are struggling with mental health issues?
Yeah. This is a tough one because sometimes parents will feel like it's a hard discussion to have. And it's okay as a parent to let a child know, hey, I think you're struggling. Do you think you're struggling? So opening the conversation with them and then gently asking them if they feel like they need help. Now, sometimes parents will have a child that is resistant and doesn't think they need help, and the parent does. One of the ways that you can start is easily with your, you know, family pediatrician or family doc explaining what's going on. It's always important to include the other adults in a child's life. So talking to teachers, talking to parents, are they noticing things that you're not noticing? And then if need be, actually working with either your primary care doctor, your pediatrician, or your health plan to actually get a referral potentially to see a counselor who can sit down with a child and then begin to kind of help that child open up.
Okay. And what are the benefits of a suicide prevention program?
So a suicide prevention program is important because sometimes people are at points of crisis and we don't know it. So for example, at my company, Carillon Behavioral Health, we actively look for those signs and symptoms in the population of kids that are struggling, and then we reach out to them ahead of time. And we have a lot of different ways in which we can identify individuals that are struggling, but parents can do the same thing. And so if you think a child is struggling, reaching out and getting help is most important. If you're at a moment of crisis, you can always call 988, just like 911, where you can call for any kind of a physical emergency or concern. 988 is a phone line that you can call with any kind of an emotional concern. You can text, you can chat, you can have a conversation online, you can talk, and basically get advice by saying, here's what's going on, here's what we're struggling with, what do we do, where do we go, and you can get in the moment guidance on what to do.
Okay. Now, besides calling the 988 emergency suicide helpline, where can people go to learn more about suicide prevention among youth, especially for National Suicide Prevention Month?
Yes, there are many resources online. NAMI is one of those, the National Alliance for the Mentally Ill. CarolonBehaviorHelp.com is another place that you can go, but there's lots of resources online that you can look for to get help with understanding what are the challenges that children are having and where can I go. And generally, I recommend to families, think about resources that are local right in your community. All communities have resources that parents can reach out to when they feel like their children are struggling. If those resources don't work, you can always reach back to your own health plan.
Okay, great advice. So once again, you can find more information through NAMI, N-A-M-I. Also, you can go to CarolonBehavioralHealth.com, C-A-R-E-L-O-N, BehavioralHealth.com. And of course, the suicide helpline. If any of us, including young people, are feeling depressed, suicidal, need to reach out, that number is 988, available anytime. 988, call, text, doesn't matter. And we've been speaking today with Dr. James Polo. He's a child psychiatrist and the chief medical officer at Carillon Behavioral Health. And Dr. Polo, I really appreciate you being here, sharing these important tips for National Suicide Prevention Month. But these are really important tips all the time, obviously. And it's an issue that people might not be aware of, that suicide is the second leading cause of death among young people. So I really appreciate your time here today. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Every year, more than 240,000 Hispanics attempt to end their own lives in the United States. In 2020 alone, more than 4,500 Hispanic men and women died by suicide in this country, according to the CDC. Among Latino youth, one in six high school students had serious thoughts of suicide. But it's not all bad news. Our culture, rich in family and community connections, can help prevent suicide. The CDC recommends some relief measures, such as reducing access to lethal means among people at risk for suicide and engaging them in shared activities. The good news is that there is help at your fingertips. If you or someone you know needs help now, call or text 988. Find free available resources at wearelatinx.com. This message brought to you by the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation.
You're listening to the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. I'm Heather Vail, and I'm speaking with Paul Sladkus, founder of Good News Planet and the Good News Corporation nonprofit, and head of one of the largest Peace Day events in New York City. The 40th annual International Day of Peace is September 21st. Close to 200 countries in the United Nations observe Peace Day as a time to promote peace and nonviolence. Paul, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you, Heather. Very excited to get a chance to speak with you. You're doing such great work. Congratulations to you.
Thank you. Now, this is the 40th anniversary. So what prompted the founding of the International Day of Peace 40 years ago?
Well, it's a United Nations declared day 40 years ago. Actually, I don't know why, except the reality of we need peace in the United Nations. Our company is actually a nonprofit, Good News Corporation, and we've been involved with the International Day of Peace for 22 years. The original 1984 event got reinvigorated in 2002 with a new resolution to definitely make September 21st the Day of Peace, and requesting the following kinds of things. One, at noon to do a moment of silence, minute of silence worldwide. Two, a ceasefire. Three, acts of peace and acts of kindness to all on that day. And that's a United Nations, 193 countries that all agreed to that resolution.
Yes, fantastic. And how long has your nonprofit, Good News Corporation, been putting on events for the International Day of Peace?
22 years. We've been doing them in Central Park here in New York, but they're always broadcast, so it's worldwide. And then 8 years ago, I brought it into Times Square, except for the few years with COVID, but we've been doing it right in the Father Duffy Square. We invite everybody down there. And if you can't get down there, then 12 noon, take a moment of silence for peace. Father Duffy Square is by the tickets booth. 46 47th Street in the new Disneyland. No, Times Square.
And what do these Peace Day events look like? What's the vibe?
Well, basically, what we've been doing is strengthening the message of peace with entertainers and speakers talking about peace. This year, we've also included Climate Week, or actually for the last few years, we've included ecology and Mother Earth. So this year's, if you go to pausetheworldforpeace.org, you can watch the show live. It's a live television broadcast. I'm in the TV business 50 plus years. And what this will be this year, God willing, it's a big project. We're going to start off with a drum circle and some moments of silence. And then Ringo Starr virtually will request a moment of silence. He's a United Nations peace messenger. Then we'll go to Michael Douglas, who will also mention the show is on the International Day of Peace. And then we'll have a prayer from the faith-based people of New York City, and as well as myself. I'm an interfaith, all faith, no faith, just be kind and loving to each other, minister. And then we're going to have a ringing of a 600-pound peace bell with a ceremony from a FOPAL, a peace and love organization. And then we're going to have a song by Randy Edelman. He's done over 100 movies and single songs from Gettysburg to Kindergarten Cop, my cousin Vinny. So he's going to sing a Thanksgiving song, which is quite peaceful. And then we go into the OM organization. And then they have Sister Jenna and Satima, some well-known people in the, so he does shows on metaphysics and so on, you know, more of a spiritual hour and a half. And then we will go into A.Y. Young, who's a global ambassador for the United Nations Sustainable Goals. Another hour and 15 minutes. He has Anushka within there. She's a popular singer, 39 million followers out of India. And then we're going to go back to Woodstock. It's the 55th anniversary of Woodstock, 69. I was involved. I did the 20th anniversary of Woodstock in Times Square, right at that location, because I couldn't raise the money for the Central Park, Great Lawn. So we are going to do I have a movie that we've been working on since 1989 to get out there called Woodstock Forever, Peace, Love, and Hope. So I did it with Richie Havens, who started the Woodstock 1969, Singing Freedom. And so we're going to show a little bit of that, a couple minutes of that. And then we have groups coming in from Hawaii, from Texas, and all around. And so that's going to be another segment. We broke the show into five segments. So that's the Woodstock segment. We have Michael Lang's wife, Tamara. We have Artie Kornfeld, who are the two original people that started Woodstock original. And then we have American Relics. We have a bunch of great groups who perform. Jilly Yee is a Taiwan singer. She's wonderful. And then we are going to do the last part's Divine Feminine. And it's a whole set of women who are magnificent performers. Jordi Fumante and Lemley. And it's really a lot of show that we're very proud of. And one major piece of art, which was a work between USA and China, almost 30,000 different pieces of steel making a peace friendship tree. And that's 26 feet long, 10 feet high, 14 feet in depth, and this little area in Times Square called Father Duffy Square. So that's the show.
That's fantastic. What's that website again if people want to watch your Peace Day event remotely?
Thank you so much, Heather. Pause the World for Peace, PauseTheWorldForPeace.org. I never spelled it. Peace, PEACE.org.
PauseTheWorldForPeace.org.
It'll also be on a Facebook link too, which is facebook.com/unify, which has 2 million followers also. And it'll be one on an international broadcast also. Because this is, according to McKinsey Co., there's 1.6 billion people aware of this. Our dream is at 12 noon to get 8 billion people to take a moment of silence and acts of peace. And from that moment on, continue on and put down the guns and have a good time. It's party time. We're lucky to be alive and we should just enjoy life. Hey, you're in Vegas. I love Vegas. I've been there many times. Oh, we're making a donation to the CTA Foundation, the Consumer Technology Foundation Association, which is the foundation for CES. which is the largest show, I believe, in 150 plus thousand come to Vegas, including me, for years.
Yeah.
So that's one of our charity. We're a charity, but we're going to give some money to other charities.
Nice.
If we're able to raise money. And we could sure use some money to make these things happen. It's not so easy to raise money. As you know, you do a lot of charity stuff, I see.
Yeah.
So that's it.
Now, what are some other ways people can get involved in the International Day of Peace if they can't attend an event either in person or remotely?
Well, you know, a group down in North Carolina is getting together, a church group of a few different interdenominationals, and they're going to have a party that day and get together and talk about peace in their community. And there's events all over doing peace activities on that day. And if not, you know, hold your family, hold a tree because of Climate Week also. And, you know, it is a good opportunity. I'm into parties. We also have peacedayparty.org. I want to throw a whole party for the whole world. So have a party. I mean, we're fortunate to be alive and pray that we don't have a gun facing us. So I think you can do, I think just the acknowledgement that there's a day of peace or that there's a moment of silence for peace and that people around the world will be honoring it, I think is a great first step.
And what time does that moment of silence normally happen?
Noon.
Okay, so whatever time zone you're in, at noon, observe a moment of silence in honor of International Day of Peace.
Perfecto.
All right, that sounds great. Now, it might be obvious, but why is it important to promote peace in our country and our communities?
Well, you see a mentally ill person in Vegas who goes into a hotel and shoots people in the streets some years ago. Tragedy happened.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems a lot of stress. Most of the world lives in peace. You can go to our goodnewsbroadcast.com also, which is on YouTube. We have 6,500 shows there, our goodnewsplanet.tv. You know, the world is good. And so it's important to realize how good and wonderful the world is, and meaning the people in the world, the plants and the animals. And it's a mindset, you know, the power of positive thinking. Reverend Norman Peale wrote a book about things like that. And I think it's really true. You hang out with positive minded people, you know, how can you, you know, they don't want a non-positive one around them. It's uplifting. We know that scientifically, we're healthier when we're positive. Our blood is flowing more happily. So I think it's good to be kind and loving. It's fun. And it's a nice thing. And if we can have it either by ourselves or with others, you know, we're all in this together. This is one Mother Earth, and we need to take care of Mother Earth, and we need to take care of those living here.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So what's the biggest takeaway you'd like people to remember about the International Day of Peace?
That there is a day, there's an occurrence on September 21st, and that's the day forever. And they're just so kind to come and watch us or do something as well on September 21st at 12 noon, let's say. The takeaway would be, you know, put that on your calendar and make it a day. I mean, we have lots of days, you know, most of our days that we celebrate, 4th of July and Independence Days, are days from war. And, you know, here's a day for peace. And so it's a much nicer thing.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So once again, the International Day of Peace is, as always, on September 21st. This year, it happens to be on Saturday. So next Saturday, September 21st, there are events going on all around the world. If you are not attending an event, then observe a moment of silence at noon next Saturday, September 21st. There's also plenty of events happening around, from yoga to gatherings. Some websites to check out besides Paul's are internationaldayofpeace.org. You can look at un.org/peaceday. And if you would like to observe Paul's event, which is one of the largest Peace Day events in New York City, he described it. It's a huge day of celebration of peace. That's happening at pausetheworldforpeace.org, pausetheworldforpeace.org. And you can also check out facebook.com/unify, facebook.com/unify. Unify. And again, we've been speaking today with Paul Sladkis. He's the founder of Good News Planet and the Good News Corporation nonprofit and head of one of the largest Peace Day events in New York City. And again, the 40th annual International Day of Peace is next Saturday, September 21st. And Paul, it's been fantastic talking to you and finding out, first of all, about this amazing, huge event that you're putting on, how we can watch online, and why Peace Day is so important to observe. It's been great talking to you. Some amazing information you've shared today. So I really want to thank you for your time.
Well, Heather, I want to thank you for your time. Remember, this is a television broadcast, so people can see our show everywhere. It's maybe one of the largest worldwide. And Heather, I want to congratulate you. I looked you up, and you're supporting charities. Every charity and every nonprofit that you support is doing good news. And we need broadcasters like you that use broadcasting for the good and focus on the good that's happening in our world. So I want to thank you for that.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Are you looking for more in this world? Are you ready for something bigger? Then we are looking for you. The big-hearted, the bold, the messy and the gutsy, the teachers, the growers, the builders, the skilled, the sharers, the change makers. We need you. We are the Peace Corps. In more than 60 countries, we go all in and all out. We are volunteers, partners, communities, working together, living together, bringing our experience, passion, and joy to building a better world together. From tackling climate change in Mexico to keeping kids healthy in Kenya, from sustainable farming in the Philippines to education in Kosovo, we learn more, give more, share freely, and serve boldly. Are you ready to tackle the tough stuff, to go the distance to make a difference? Then we have a place where you belong. Join us at peacecorps.gov.
I'm Heather Vail with the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show, and this is your community events calendar for nonprofit initiatives and charity events around the Valley. Palm Mortuaries and Cemeteries is holding a pet supply drive in honor of its therapy dog, Snickers the Golden Doodle's 5th birthday, starting with a pet-friendly birthday party next Wednesday, September 18th from 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. at King David Memorial. The party includes free pet photos, treats, games, and activities. And the pet supply drive will run until October 31st, with proceeds going to support 5 local animal rescue organizations: Michael's Angel Paws, Nevada SPCA, Heaven Can Wait Animal Society, Las Vegas Humane Society, and Amorpaluta Las Vegas. Get details, RSVP for the birthday party, or make a donation at kingdavidlv.com. That's kingdavidlv.com. Boys and Girls Clubs of Southern Nevada are holding the 11th annual Sneaker Ball next Thursday, September 19th from 6 to 9 p.m. at the Donald W. Reynolds Clubhouse, 2980 Robindale Road in Henderson. Find out more or get your tickets at bgcsnv.org. That stands for Boys and Girls Clubs, Southern Nevada, bgcsnv.org. Monday's Dark with Mark Chinook is a bi-monthly musical fundraising party at The Space, with each event raising $10,000 for a specific charity in 90 minutes. Upcoming shows include Monday, September 23rd at 8 p.m., benefiting the St. Rose Dominican Health Foundation, and Monday, October 7th at 8 p.m., benefiting the North Las Vegas Police and Fire Association. Get tickets or find out more details at mondaysdark.com. That's mondaysdark.com. Safe Nest is hosting their Pathways to Hope brunch fundraiser on Saturday, September 21st at 10 a.m. at Red Rock Casino Resort and Spa. And their Run for Hope 5K and 1 mile walk are happening Sunday, October 13th at 8 a.m. at Wayne Bunker Park. Find out more, get tickets to the Pathways to Hope brunch, or register for the Run for Hope 5K at safenest.org. That's safenest.org. The Children's Heart Foundation's 6th annual Hearts for Charity fundraiser is happening on Wednesday, September 25th at 11 a.m. at the Four Seasons Hotel Las Vegas in the Acacia Ballroom. Get tickets or find out more at chfn.org. That stands for Children's Heart Foundation Nevada, chfn.org. The Las Vegas Natural History Museum Signature Fundraising Gala, the 2024 Dinosaur Ball, will be held on Saturday, September 28th from 6:30 to 9:30 p.m. at the Las Vegas Natural History Museum. Find out more or get your tickets at dinoball.org. That's dinoball.org. ADL's annual Walk Against Hate is happening on Sunday, September 29th, with doors at 8:30 a.m. and program at 10 a.m. at Las Vegas Ballpark. Register to walk or find out more at walkagainsthate.org/LVWalkAgainstHate. That's walkagainsthate.org/LVWalkAgainstHate. The Shade Trees Once Upon a Gala is happening Thursday, October 10th at 7 p.m. in the Zouk Nightclub at Resorts World Las Vegas. The Poolside VIP Secret Garden Soiree gets underway at 5:30 p.m. Get your tickets or find out more at theshadetree.org. That's theshadetree.org. The Nevada chapter of the National Bleeding Disorders Foundation is holding their annual Unite for Bleeding Disorders Walk on Saturday, October 12th, with opening ceremonies at 10 a.m. and the walk starting at 10:30, followed by a picnic lunch at Floydland Park. Find out the details or register to walk at uniteforbleedingdisorders.org. That's uniteforbleedingdisorders.org. The Just One Project is hosting the fourth annual Big Cup Golf Tournament on Thursday, October 17th at the Revere Golf Club. Find out more or sign up to play at thejustoneproject.org. That's thejustoneproject.org. And Communities and Schools of Nevada is holding their 14th annual Today for Tomorrow fundraiser on Saturday, October 19th at 6 p.m. at Fontainebleau, Las Vegas. Find out more at cisnevada.org/event/TFT24. That's cisnevada.org/event/TFT24.